Welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Megan Kamrick. This week, the city of Albuquerque was approved for a federal grant to develop a bus rapid transit system. The Albuquerque Rapid Transit Project, nicknamed ART, would create dedicated bus lanes in the middle of Central Avenue. It's expected to cost the city nearly $120 million, with about $70 million coming from the Federal Transit Administration. Supporters say it will bring investment and economic development, and it will also help residents west of the river get to jobs and access places like Nob Hill. Numerous business owners fear it could put them out of business due to construction and increased congestion. Other opponents say it's just not a good fit, and funds should be spent improving other parts of the existing transit system. Does Albuquerque need this kind of major revamp in its transit system? Do you use public transit? Would you use it if you had a system like this? Join our conversation by calling 277-5866 or email callinshow@kunm.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at KUNM News. And joining us today is Dana Crawford, project manager with the Albuquerque Rapid Transit Project. Thanks for being here, Dana.
My pleasure.
Also, we have Gene Bernstein, CEO of Flying Star Cafes and Satellite Coffee.
Thanks for inviting me.
Also here in the studio is City Councilor Pat Davis.
Morning, Megan.
Dana, why rapid transit? Why now in Albuquerque?
2002, the City Council asked the Department of Transit to look at a long-range planning strategy for mass transit. So that's how it began. And a series of studies, feasibility, traffic analysis, and so forth, it was determined that the best route to go would be, and it was compared light rail and the BRT, it was considered that the BRT gave the city the most bang for the buck, as pennies on the dollar as compared to light rail. So we began the process of determining how we might go about funding such a
thing. Why did they see a need for it?
Really, the growth. I believe we visited the other night. Mr. Cog, Mid-Region Council of Governments, has done quite a bit of studies. That's kind of our analytics version of resource for the community. They estimate a huge growth on the west side, 180,000 homes, approximately 440,000 people, 180,000 more jobs, and as I mentioned, 180,000 more homes on the west side. If we think congestion is tough now, mm-hmm. and I'm one of those coming across the river, it's going to be really tough in the future. So we are trying to plan ahead. People always say, well, why didn't you plan for this? Well, that's exactly what we attempting to do, to enable more and more people to move across the river, to get to work, to get to school, to get to doctor's appointments.
And talk about the costs and the funding. We just got the nod, basically,
right.
for $69 million. It's a grant. It's going into President Obama's budget,
right.
which still has to be passed by
right.
Congress.
Right.
But what is this, and what do we have to pay to make up the rest of that $119 million?
So, yes, we got $69.7 million in the president's budget. That's exactly what we asked for in the Small Starts grant, because we have other federal transportation funds to make up the 80% that we had always been talking about. What happens next is, yes, it does go to Congress and the debate, and they pass it. But let me tell you this, that Small Starts has been around for 10 years. In the last 10 years, the cities that have been recommended for Small Starts funding, all of them have gotten their funding. It's a small amount of money. It's a lot of money to us, but it's a small amount to the federal government. And as long as we take the next paper steps, the hurdles, go through the paper process of filling out all the applications and stuff like that, we will probably get the money.
What about the city portion?
The city portion we have. The city council, back in April of last year, they passed a resolution to provide us with the matching money, the $13 million for matching money that we needed to have.
But that's still we're not reaching $119 million.
Right, okay.
69
so
and 13.
69, mm-hmm. and then you add the $30 million that we already had, the transportation.
Okay.
It's like CMAQ, TIP money, mm-hmm. Clean air, that kind of thing. And then the matching money that we have to have for those, that $30 million we already have, because you have to have it to get the federal money, it was 5.4, and then you add in the city council at 13, and you get to 119. When you say it's 126, that's a year of expenditure. That's what we have to put in our grant. It's just the FDA asks us to do that.
Gene Bernstein, you are the owner of Flying Star Cafes. Notably, the flagship store, I guess we could say, is on Central Avenue in mm-hmm. Nob Hill. You're concerned that this project will not bring economic development as promised, but could hurt the corridor. Why?
I think it's just I'm in the middle of many discussions by many people as a merchant, a business owner, developed some of the property there. I hear so many comments. There are a lot of individual and organized efforts regarding art. I actually now belong to a group that call themselves Concerned Citizens, which is a group of planners, professional planners, architects, community activists that are very interested in making sure that art works for the needs of the neighborhoods. I have heard many of the arguments and can't disagree with many of the things that Save Route 66 has. They are the folks that are extremely opposed, trying to stop art, actually. But our group is focused more on supporting art if it is developed in a way that meets the needs of the neighborhoods. We believe that this project could be transformational. It could bring Albuquerque a great deal of a beneficial future. It's pivotal.
And what are your concerns are that it could work. You just want to make sure that it's done correctly.
These planners and architects who have all the credentials, I don't. I'm probably the person in the middle. Essentially have poured over the plans, have spent hundreds of hours analyzing them, and find areas that we believe could be greater, could enhance, and also would serve and support the goals of art more than they may at this moment. So my position is, let's sit down at the table, let's collaborate, let's talk about what it is we need to do to make sure that art delivers what it promises.
And I have posted to the KUNM website the open letter that your group put out, along with a number of other resources,
yes.
The BRT website, some studies and reports and other things. Pat Davis.
Good morning, Megan. It's good to hear from you.
You are fairly new in terms of the city council. You've been around Albuquerque, of course, a long time. But you are a fairly new city councilor representing Nob Hill. You said in a public meeting last week you're undecided on this project. What are the questions you want answered?
Well, thanks, Megan. And you're right. As Dana pointed out, the previous city council about 6 months ago approved the initial funding for this. I sort of showed up in December in the middle of this process. And quite frankly, particularly in the university area, Nob Hill, the international district that I represent, there was a lot, and still is, a lot of anxiety had built up. And as Dana knows, and I appreciate their being willing to work with us, I felt like the city had not done a good job of communicating with everybody along the route, neighborhoods. There was a lot of initial public input and a lot of ideas that were thrown at the wall. But at the end of the day, what the final product was going to be and how they were working to do this, I don't think they knew enough about. And so what I started to hear was exactly what Gene said, which is businesses are saying, and I think somebody put this out really well, if the transit ferry shows up tomorrow and sticks this thing down the middle of Central, I think we think it won't be any worse and it might actually be a little better. But getting us from here to there has a lot of concerns because these businesses, some of them can't afford 30 or 60 days of diminished revenue right now. And some of the residents are worried about things like spillover traffic and letting coal into their neighborhoods. And they had not really had a great outlet to express that.
Well, we have full phone lines. And on the lead and coal question, I just got an email question from Don Hancock about that. He is concerned about increased traffic on lead and coal as a result of reducing traffic on Central. Dana, could you address that?
As part of the traffic studies that we did, the analysis showed that, let's see, Lomas, Gibson, Lead and Coal are all not at their capacity. Lead and Coal, people talk about how fast they go. If there was more folks actually using that route, it would slow down traffic. I mean, that's part of the desire. It's a beautiful roadway. We do need to slow down folks. They're using it as a freeway at this point.
Okay. So you say more traffic would be okay on
actually,
those
corners? Actually, yeah, because it would slow down. Yeah, it would slow down. And they're built for that kind of capacity.
They're supposed to be timed lights at 30 miles per hour. Okay.
Right.
We have full phone lines already, as I anticipated with this show, as Pat said. People are very passionate about this issue. I want to go to John in Albuquerque. John, you're on the air at the KUNM call-in show. What's your question?
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to just kind of paint a picture here in that, you know, Albuquerque is our home. And so year after year, as the years go by, we continue to buy only new furniture and only make new improvements to our living room. And every other room of the house is neglected, and the house is no more livable, nor is it any more valuable. And in all the years that I've lived here, I lived here back in the day when they were ripping up Central to do something, and there was the old tracks going right up underneath the pavement, and that was abandoned. And then they put in new types of bus routes, and then now that's going to be abandoned. And we're pinning our economic hopes on a two-lane road for a city of almost a million, or hopefully maybe more than a million. Right now we're losing people, so I don't know if we're ever going to reach that goal. And how can we pin our hopes on a two-lane road that's already congested, for which this will make more congested? And you're ripping out all of this old prior infrastructure. It is the poorest use of resources. There are other parts of the city that suffer because we think that there are somehow going to be more people who live along Central that are going to take this, which they don't already take the bus that exists. If you want more people on Central, you need to lead more rivers of people to Central.
Okay.
And you're not doing that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John. Dana, to that point, are we pinning all our economic hopes on this project?
I don't think so. I think that the transit project is pivotal. It will connect the jewels that are along Central and provide an opportunity for people to visit those places, if you're a vacationer, if you're here for a conference, what have you. But it'll also provide folks both on east and west ends of the city to get to the different places along the corridor, you know, health appointments and so forth. But additionally, this is a three-prong approach. I mean, we've got the transit that will pull things together as we connect people. But we also look at this as an economic development driver, because in other communities, transit-oriented development has been very successful. I mean, we've mentioned the success in Cleveland. They've put their project in. They spent $6 billion. They were able to see $6 billion worth of economic development in the 6 years that they've been in operation. Our neighbors to the north up in
Denver.
Fort Collins, yeah, actually, a similar sized city. I mean, for the metropolitan area, they've been in operation for about a year, and they've seen $150 million. I mean, it's just a place to start.
So it sounds like, I mean, we are pinning a lot of hopes for economic revitalization and development on this.
Well, it's been successful elsewhere. I mean, we've already seen lots of infrastructure already starting on the corridor because they're excited about us being there. The Carlisle here on Central, is, for example.
Gene, real quick.
I just must mention that I don't see economic development and real estate development as the same things. I think that Albuquerque is losing population. It's in negative economic growth at the moment. Certainly, there are things the bus can bring to the community other than just being a bus. But I don't think that without jobs, without other economic developments, efforts, which I know are happening anyway. I know the mayor is working hard to bring in, create incubators, bring new ideas and support small companies and bring other companies in. It's a many-pronged approach that he has. But without more of that, the bus is a real estate development project.
Well, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll come back and take some more callers. I want to remind you, this is the KUNM call-in show. We're talking about plans for a rapid transit system on Central Avenue, and we'd like to hear from you, 277-5866, or email callinshow@kunm.org.
Edible Arrangements at 4770 Montgomery Boulevard Northeast in Albuquerque offers fresh fruit bouquets and chocolate-dipped fruit for any occasion. EdibleArrangements.com or 505-888-0100. Edible Arrangements is a valued supporter of KUNM.
Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm John J. Prendergast, author of In Touch. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about how to tune in to the inner guidance of your body and trust yourself.
Saturday mornings at 6 on KUNM.
And this is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Megan Kamrick. We're talking about plans for a bus rapid transit system on Central Avenue. There are a lot of passionate supporters and opponents of this plan. Are you worried this will change Albuquerque for the worse? Do you think this plan makes sense? And I'd like to go to the phones. We have Zachary from Albuquerque. Zachary, thanks for the calling into the Call-In Show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What's your question?
It's a comment. It's sort of a question, all in one. I've been looking at this this proposal with some interest for some time now, and you know, trying to look at all sides of it, and I've just come to the conclusion that you know, this kind of bus system probably would have made sense about 20 or so years ago. But at the moment, this just does not. I and many others have a concern that, you know, aside from any other considerations, any other concerns, that this is just not a 21st century plan. That, you know, we're talking about ripping up huge chunks of Central Avenue, where there used to be a light rail, going up and down. So we're gonna rip up Central where there used to be a light rail, put in, you know, disrupt traffic, disrupt businesses, and put in more dedicated bus lanes. And even if these are buses running off of natural gas and there's some kind of, you know, hybrid buses, still, we're talking about more individual vehicles on the road in lanes, dedicated though they may be, rather than something like an electrified light rail system, electrified with power from renewable sources like the sun.
Okay. So I appreciate that question, Zachary. Dana, why not light rail?
Well, light rail, we look at BRT as about a $10 million a mile proposition. When you start looking at light rail and other projects of that nature, you're looking at more of a $80 million a mile, and that's for the basic Ford Pinto version. You know, that's not something that I think that the city would appreciate anyway. But $80 million, bus rapid transit is pennies on the dollar, and the research shows us that it's just as successful at bringing transit-oriented development into the communities.
What about the idea of more environmentally friendly buses, solar-powered or electric?
Well, the RFP went out for the 18 new buses that we will need to purchase. It has a clean diesel version, but you can also have a electric bus version. So we're putting it out to the community to see, well, the vendors, what they can propose to us. So I know the mayor is really excited about the possibility of having an electric bus.
Okay,
buses.
So there's room for improvements and shifts in this down the line if this comes to pass.
Well, there's also the piece to that is, say we decide that we can't afford an $80 million a mile project down, you know, in 20 years, what have you. Bus rapid transit lays the groundwork, and then you can just put the rails in, and it'll be a whole lot less.
Okay. I want to go to another caller right quick. Kathy from Albuquerque has a question.
Yes, I have a question because, frankly, I'm amazed that we're even talking about this massive project. How do we justify funding this? Millions of dollars when we have the highest rate of child poverty in this country. We have thousands of homeless children enrolled in APS. We've got hungry kids. We have struggling family. And it seems to me that the better investment would be to invest in making lives better for families.
Okay.
$80 million, really? And this is what we're going to spend our money on?
Okay, Kathy, thank you for that comment. I'm going to go next to Andy. He has a similar thought. Andy, you're on the air.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with the caller before anymore. this city priorities are completely backwards. We have people literally dying on the street every night that are unsheltered, and we're talking about pissing money away on a transit system on Central when we even allow people to lay down in tents without being kicked out and harassed. This is absolutely ridiculous that the mayor will not even address our homeless issue, let alone take on a stupid bus transport for, what, 30 people to go out on Central anymore? Do you see anybody on Central?
Okay.
The place is so dangerous. Nobody goes cruising around in town like this is a town full of millennials like Aspen.
Okay. Thank you very much. Andy, Pat, I'm going to kick that over to you as our city council representative here.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And folks who know my politics know that the mayor and I don't always agree on everything, particularly the way we've dealt with some of those issues. And I'm hearing what we talked about, what we heard from business folks who are concerned. But I have to tell you the piece that's been most interesting to me, and when we had our meeting a couple of weeks ago, when 250 people showed up, the idea that people in particular parts of the neighborhood, downtown, particularly in the International District and Clarissa, Councilor Pena's district on the southwest side, the thing about ART is that because the bus route is more rapid, it's more reliable, it connects faster and more easily, it provides people who are dependent on transit for services and jobs, it gives them access to 5,000 more jobs along the route by the time this is built out. So I don't know, and this is money we can't use for homeless services. It's not money we can use for job services. This is transportation dollars.
Well,
so
I mean, the council did, okay, the other parts of it, but the $13 million the council decided on, that is money that they have decided to allot.
That's right, but most of that came out of transit bonds that voters had approved, or a good chunk of it, and so most of it is transit dollars. And so we have to take a look and say, this is an economic development tool, not just for the land developers and for the folks in Nob Hill that are building these things, but for people who depend on transit to get back and forth, and if they need a leg up, right now it's really hard, quite frankly. I love our ABQ ride, but it takes me 45 minutes to get from my house to my office at City Hall. It takes 45 minutes and three buses to do that. That's not a reliable way to get to work every day, and this might change that.
I do want to throw in, I spoke with a gentleman who works in the International District, and he did express concerns to me that he felt the project seems to bypass, that was his word, the International District. And also he was concerned about the limited or no effort to allow for input on this from Spanish speakers. Could you address that, Dana?
Well, we have been doing public outreach since 2011. We've had 18 different public meetings all along the corridor. I can't remember. It might have been Mesa Verde Community Center, I think, in the International District. But we have hundreds and hundreds of meetings. Now, I know that we reached out to the Spanish community because we did radio ads in both, let's say, the newspaper. I can't think of the name of the newspaper.
I know you had a lot, but did you actually have hundreds and hundreds? I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. You can look at my calendar. Absolutely. But, I mean, we have been. I mean, we track all of our meetings. We track the numbers of people and who we've reached out to, from newsletters to you know, huge gatherings to one-on-one.
Okay, it's a combination of all
this. But 18 public meetings specifically advertised in Spanish, radio and newspaper, advertised in all of the newspapers that we have, from the Lobo to the Alibi to the Journal. We've done radio. I said that, sorry. And 10,000 door hangers. I mean, we tried to reach out to people as much as we possibly could to get them involved in this.
You wanted to say something, too.
I'd just like to say that I'm sure that happened. But what our concerned citizens group would like to say is now that the plans have been drawn and that and have are very specific, I think it's time to take more input, because there are areas where certain neighborhood needs may or may not be serviced. And we feel that this is the time to bring stakeholders again to the table, because there are opportunities for much more constructive, collaborative conversations about plan details. You may have reached out, but now is a different situation. There are things, there are concrete drawings and designs and areas that could really use enhancement and more discussion to meet the needs of the constituents and the neighborhoods affected.
And we have the BRT website at our website, KUNM.org, as well as documents. If you want to go there, you can see the plans, you can see reports, you can see renderings of some of the proposed stations. And I want to go to Michelle in Albuquerque. She has a question about small businesses. Michelle, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
What is your question?
I just want to say first that I'm happy that we are joining the 20 other cities that have bus rapid transit systems. I think that that I know we're an economically poor state, but I don't think that I think it was very clearly put that the funds that we're using are just funds for transportation. They can't be used for other things. So I don't think that we're, you know, misprioritizing. And I do think that it shows, like, in these other cities that there's this huge economic development that happens around these bus rapid transit systems. So it seems like perhaps it's just serving a small population, but they tend to have these great developmental effects that, I mean, not developmental, but, you know, they help grow the city in ways that we're just not doing that right now. So I drive down Central and I see these signs, no bus rapid transit. It makes me so mad because I just think that we haven't gotten the right information out about it. And I guess it's more of a comment than a rant. And I suppose what I'd like to know, I know that there was a woman that suggested that she had to leave Albuquerque because of construction. And I just wonder what, like, you know, an alternative to grow businesses for her, like what that might look like.
Thanks for your comments, Michelle. And I know that the city is putting in place efforts with Acción and West, or microlenders and small business experts, to help small businesses get through what will be a difficult construction period if this goes through. Jean, what do you think about those efforts?
The concerns of the small businesses, especially along the route, and especially in areas that are more retail focused, like downtown, Edo, Knob Hill, and other areas, the merchants have had a long, hard recession. It's the economy of the state, the economy of the city. They see this, and I'm going to interpret for them because I talk to them, as another blow, another difficult situation to overcome. I'm sure they get the possible future implications and transformational elements that the mayor's vision can bring to us. But in the short term, they are looking at their survival. I will tell you from my own experience that despite the city's best efforts, it is going to be very difficult for Knob Hill and for areas that are already dense and have parking issues anyway. My experience, I've been through three major projects with the city and the county, and they can go on far longer than they and always anticipate.
That is the nature of construction.
It just is the nature. It's no one's fault. It's things go wrong. Things happen. The minor ones, we've had the one on Manal. We had the major Burnco project, which was the sewers from Alameda to Griegos. And the Paseo project was devastating. Businesses around us on Paseo, it went on for, I mean, they made it on time. They did a great job. But motorists are creatures of opportunity, and they are not going to go where it's difficult to access unless they must. So they will seek other routes. It's just the nature of us humans who are pressed for time and have needs of our own. And I will tell you one more thing. This project will go on. People will change their driving habits, and it will take more than the construction period to get them back. It can go on for actually over a year more.
Dana,
so they're concerned for real.
What are the plans to ameliorate the construction difficulty around this? And also, can you also address the parking issue? I think there's some confusion. Are we going to keep the same amount of parking? Are we going to about some of this.
So parking, we're not taking away any parking. We may have to shift it a bit, like, for example, in front of the University of New Mexico at the Cornell Station. The parking there we'll move over into in front of the Frontier. So we'll have to shift some as we go, but we're not losing, and we don't really have a net loss to speak of. In terms of supporting the business community, that's critical for us. And we had a great meeting last night in Knob Hill with some business owners talking about their concerns, and took them all on the whiteboards and pulled them all together. There's some that we could answer immediately. Some of the requests were, you know, we really don't necessarily need subsidies. What we need are business. I mean, we need clients. We need people to come to our shop. So what are you doing about that? Well, we're going to be doing a program called Reasons to Love 66. So it'll be events on a biweekly basis to bring people
via social networking, but via radio, that kind of thing, emails, blasts, that, to get people to come and do cash mobs. Come have lunch at Bob's Burgers or what have you. Come have lunch at Gecko's, whatever. And just every week try to drive people to a different location along the corridor so that we might encourage people to shop and retail shop and so forth. So
we do have a question from an email from Judith. She says East Central is inadequate for rapid transit. Lomas is wide enough. You need to add systems to the north-south trips to bring shoppers to Central Avenue.
Okay. So Lomas is a wonderful, basically a highway in the city. It can move a lot of people. The fact of the matter is nobody wants to be on Lomas. We want to be where the action is. We want to be able to go to the biopark. We want to go to UNM, Nob Hill. You need to build rapid transit systems where people are. We have 32 connecting routes, our highest ridership's on Central. It provides the opportunity to people to get north and south.
So we also have an email question from Josh in Tijeras. What about the non-BRT improvements, the sidewalks, the crosswalks, the pedestrian access?
Okay. So, yes, please go and look at our website, BRTABQ, so that you can see the extent of sidewalk improvements we're doing. In many areas, we're going to be having sidewalks up, especially up in Nob Hill, up to 10 or 12 feet wide, so it'll allow some sidewalk dining. We'll be adding more street trees in addition to the landscaping. Along the corridor, we'll see more of the lights that you've seen in Nob Hill. We're trying to make that a standard going down the corridor. We're working on better connections for the bicycle community. We'll be adding 4 Zagsters up along the
those are the bike share.
But yeah, thank
bike
you. The bike share, exactly. You'll be able to take your bikes inside the bus, and we're developing apps that will help you get from the bike boulevards over to ART. Put your bike on there, and you know, go back and forth, and also bike parking, more bike parking. So we take maybe one space, a parking space, and you're able to park 10 bikes there. So intermodality is a big part of this project
Since
as well.
Since we're talking streetscape improvements, I want to go to Bob in Albuquerque.
Sorry,
Bob. Bob, are you're on the air? You have a question about trees in the meeting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me turn my volume down a little bit. I got 3 main objections to this project, and we've spent millions of dollars and years putting trees in to the community stuff for shade for the summertime, and I just can't believe we're talking about cutting down all the trees along Central Avenue. We need more of them than anything. The other thing is economics. I think this is driven by contractors more than anybody. If we're talking about businesses doing well, that's from people having money in their pocket to go shopping. This plan does not help any of that. It helps the contractors. I agree with the other callers who about the poverty, the child and poverty rates in families here. If we want to talk about helping businesses do better, designing projects for that is going to be much, much more effective. The other thing is I live on the corner of coal and Richmond, and I can't believe Dana or whoever was talking about clean diesel and coal and lead unused. The unwritten idea behind this plan is to switch the traffic over to lead and coal through this area that's going to be congested. And already, lead and coal are like 2 bleeding arteries that run through long-term stable neighborhoods. If you drive these streets, people are putting up walls now everywhere. It's like a canyon because of the traffic and the noise that already exists here that's not mitigated at all. Okay. The lead and coal reconstruction just made things worse here.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate your comments. And I think we were talking clean diesel. I think we were talking about the buses that would be on Central. But I think, Dana, you just touching briefly, we did talk about lead and coal. But your thought is that by putting more traffic on that, it slows it down and it doesn't become this, what he calls a bleeding artery, just zooming through the neighborhood.
Well, and then, too, Gibson has lots of it's underutilized as well as Loma. So those were designed as
what were you going to say, Gene?
That's a far ways from Central, Gibson is.
Oh, okay.
Well, for folks that are trying to just get across town, I mean, a lot of people try to use it as a freeway. But let me speak to the trees, his concern about the trees. And it is hard to think about taking some of those trees out in the middle. But in terms of making shade for people to enjoy, our project is putting trees on the sidewalk so people can be under them and enjoy them. We are doing tree for tree, if not better, trying to enhance the entire corridor as well. And economics, the NAOP, our local NAOP group, did a study just from Carlisle to the biopark.
This is a commercial real estate
trade group.
Right. They just did a quick one, and they came up with $1 billion in economic development and 5,000 jobs. But we thought that's a local group. It's realtors, et cetera. Let's go for another one. So we went to Chicago, the Center for Neighborhood Technology, and they did an actual real scientific one. I mean, NAIOP will say it was a down and dirty, but the study. But the Center for Neighborhood Technology did a 10-year longitudinal study, all the algorithms and so forth they did, property taxes. And they saw that if we did this the way we're trying to design and build it to the Institute for Transportation Technology standards, we could see $2 to $3 billion worth of economic development. And that means 9,000 jobs. Even if we only got $1 billion, I mean, that would be a great boon to our community. So this is a transit project, but it truly is an economic driver. It's happened in other communities.
Okay, we're going to go to a quick break. This is the KUNM call-in show. I'm Megan Kamrick, and we're talking about rapid transit in Albuquerque.
If you're getting a new car this year, consider giving the old one to KUNM as a 50th anniversary gift. In addition to our sincere gratitude, you'll get a hefty tax deduction and a KUNM membership just in time for those 50th anniversary celebrations. Donated cars and trucks are a big reason we've been able to reach this milestone year, for real. So call today to see if your car or truck qualifies. 888-KUNM-CAR, that's 888-586-6227.
I'm Sam Waterston.
Brush up your Shakespeare. Start quoting him now.
The Broadway musical is only the most obvious way that Americans have changed Shakespeare on stage. Join me for Shakespeare Becomes American from the Folger Shakespeare Library.
I want to go back to dear old Syracuse. Though I've worn out sandals and my funds are low.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
And we're back. This is the KUNM call-in show. I'm Megan Kamrick. We're talking about the proposed Albuquerque Rapid Transit Program, known as ART, or BRT, with Dana Crawford, project manager for BRT, Gene Bernstein, CEO of Flying Star Cafes, and city councilor Pat Davis. Do you live on the west side? Would you ride rapid transit instead of using your car to commute? And why or why not? Call with your questions at 277-5866 or 866-899. 5866. You can also email callinshow@kunm.org. And we have Chris on the phone from Albuquerque. Chris, it looks like you are in support of this project. Chris? Do we still have Chris? No? Okay. Well, let's go to Steve. Steve, I think you are also in support of this project.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm very excited that that we're taking a measure to help support something other than vehicular transit here. I was also kind of hoping for rail earlier on, but hearing a lot of the research, it sounded pretty good. I think it's a huge justice issue to have one other option than vehicles. For somebody to own and maintain a vehicle takes a large amount of your income. And for people to have that option, you know, is big, I think. And so my question is, why do you think people react so strongly against anything that's not a vehicular improvement? We can have $1 million projects or $100 million projects that if it's an intersection or something for cars, people don't really make a big fuss. But when it's something like this, it becomes so inflammatory.
Okay. Pat. What do you have to say? I was at your meeting last week, and someone commented to me, he's an architect in Nob Hill, he has never seen this kind of divisiveness around an issue, and he's lived here for like 40 years.
Well, and that was sort of the reason we did this meeting originally, because I was hearing from both sides, a very vocal opposition group, lots of supporters who are a little more muted but are very engaged in this project. And I wanted to hear a little bit more from those people and elevate it. I mean, to work our way backwards. At the end of that project or the end of that meeting, I did a survey and asked people to participate. We had, like I said, over 250 people who showed up. 70%, 69% of people there said, yeah, they wanted to see more improvement and more transit, rapid transit on Central. But the folks who about a 40%, 40% against, 35% for, and the rest of the people in the middle haven't decided yet. So it really kind of shows that we know what we want. We just don't know if this is the right project. And as we were just talking during the break quickly, something that's really, somebody pointed out is that, you know, there's a big difference. There are businesses for and against and all this. But the more young people we involve in this conversation, the more we see support shift forward. And we saw this around the Casita rule that we just dealt with at the council and others. There's a real place in Albuquerque right now where we have young people. The more they participate, they're trying to define what they want the city of Albuquerque to look like in 10 or 15 years. And we have folks who've been here for a while and who are struggling, older folks who live on these neighborhoods who have established homes. They're comfortable with where that is, or they're hurting and they're struggling. They don't need a big disruption in their lives, and that's a legitimate concern. So it really is more a question. It's more than just transit. This is about, what do we want to do for our future? Is this a right project to answer the need for more transit? And we're seeing this play out in a couple of other things. But that said, I'll be the first to say the city does a very poor job of community engagement around a lot of big issues. The Bosque we've seen lately, this homelessness that our friend brought up earlier, we have to do a better job of that if we're really serious about making that decision.
Jean Bernstein.
I agree with you, Pat, and I feel like I'm counselor too. I hear everything from everybody. Everybody is coming to me. So it's been a great way for me to take in so much information. And again, what I want to mention is this is more than just individual issues. It's about preservation of parts of Route 66 mm-hmm. that are extremely important.
Absolutely.
And there are aspects of this plan and project as drawn that could dominate and actually not deliver the intended goals of the project. And that's what the group that I belong to is concerned about. They want this plan, this project, to fit within the neighborhood's needs and the uniqueness of certain areas that really need to be they're like microclimates. They're older. I'll use Nob Hill. I'll use downtown, Edo. There are others that are very important. It's so large, it's such a huge plan, and it affects different neighborhoods in different ways along the route. It's so difficult for people to understand it, and it's bred a lot of mistrust. And I believe that this is a great time for the city to bring in the neighborhoods, to bring in stakeholders who absolutely have, now that they've seen the plans, valid concerns, real issues, and are not saying scrap it, but they're saying we need this to be dealt with or else this bus can dominate the entire route.
We have a lot of email comments and calls, but quickly, Dana, can you just briefly address, people want more input, they want more opportunities to talk about this as the plan goes forward.
Moving forward, we're looking at what is the vision, as Councillor Davis points out. What is the vision for the community? What do the millennials, the baby boomers alike, want to see around the different transit stations? And
will there be opportunities for them to give that input?
Yeah. We want an $860,000 transit-oriented development planning grant. And so it helps us bring in the neighborhoods and figure out what can we do to enhance the overall the community and the opportunity to build retail and be able to bring in the cultural aspects of the various communities.
And there are a series of community meetings starting in a couple of weeks. Right. Those are posted on the BRT website that's available through KUNM's website as
well. I would like to mention they tend to sound as if they might be about dealing with the project because it's a done deal. And I think that that's not exactly true. There is still room for input that's more than just, how to deal with construction. So I'm not sure the city is communicating clearly. There is still time to look at areas of deep concern and make adjustments if necessary. And that's what we would like to propose. And we urge stakeholders to get involved in a constructive way.
I have a quick comment from Ken. He saw this process in Cleveland, and he said there were dying businesses in the corridor to start and marginally profitable businesses going out of business, but eventually a thriving and vibrant corridor. He says there will be pain, but Albuquerque must recognize and be willing to accept that. Also, I have an interesting question from Joan. She wants to know if BRT will feature improvements in walkability, including universal accessibility for all users.
ADA, basically.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's part of what we're doing, where we don't have a lot of right-of-way along the corridor, is at the very minimum, we'll be addressing the ADA standards and actually going a little bit beyond them. To ensure that accessibility is very important to us.
We also have an email from Nikki. She's a millennial, and she's excited and looking forward to the project for her commute to UNM. I want to go to the phones. We have Amanda in Albuquerque. Amanda, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
What's your question?
It's more of a comment, really. I am opposed to the rapid transit down Central.
feel like it's unnecessary and that we need to be addressing the backlog of traffic trying to get across from the river into town. And so looking at the rapid transit, moving it to Montgomery. Montgomery is a big open space, and it has a lot of arteries that we could use, you know, a viable public transportation to get people to work, to get people across town from where they can afford to live to the job, to where the jobs are. I think that would help boost our economy. And then we can look at doing something fun for the tourists down central.
Okay, thank you. Amanda, we'll get to that in a second. I want to go to another caller real quick because we have so many calls. Katie has a comment about downtown. Katie, are you there? Katie? I think we've lost Katie. Okay. I want to go to Joel. He has a question about the far north and south not benefiting but paying for this project. Are you there, Joel?
Yes. So, you know, I've ridden transit for a really long time, and the hardest way to get the hardest it is for the people to get around is for the people who live really far north or far south of the Central Corridor. I mean, it's great for people who live, you know, very close to the Central Corridor, but I have friends who live off of Ladera and Unser. It takes them about a half hour just to walk to the nearest bus stop. And if you live on even just North 4th Street, even off of Rio Grande and Candelaria, it takes you an hour just to wait for a bus. And so that doesn't solve anything. It may be good for businesses, but it's not good for commuters. Sorry.
Okay, thanks, Joel. We also have a email comment from Jack along those lines. He says West Side residents won't use the bus because they still need cars while they're in town. He says they need to increase the frequency of buses. Dana, these are all sort of going to the similar thing. Can you talk about this, how this could help people commuting from the West Side, how it might help people in other parts of the city?
Right. Well, this project is the beginning. You've got to start somewhere, and you want to start with your strongest hand, your strongest team, what have you. And Central is it. Central is where people want to be. 42% of our ridership is there. 24% of all the jobs in Albuquerque are within a half a mile of the Central Corridor. But really what's important here is that this is just the beginning. The Rio Metro is working on the second leg of the bus rapid transit system, which would be University. They want to take it from the airport up to University Health Sciences, then eventually over to the Jefferson Corridor, which is where another 25% of the jobs are, across Paseo, and then Coors, and then connecting with Central again. So then you begin a grid. You begin a rapid transit system that allows people to actually move around the city. I'm on the West Side. I hope to be able to move downtown because I'm tired of sitting in traffic. So I hear you. I understand what you're saying, but we have to start somewhere.
And we also have a email comment from Liz. She says people don't understand why people are in poverty and transportation to and from work is a big reason. And she wants to see public transportation valley-wide and less of a focus on shopping and nightlife. And to that end, also we'll go to Dan. He is from the west side of Albuquerque. And Dan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I live on the Education Corridor, which is the Rainbow University Unser Corridor. That corridor is currently served by a bus 94, which is a one-time only bus daily that runs at like 7:15 in the morning and once in the afternoon. I actually work at Central and San Mateo. I would have to walk or drive several miles, though, to actually get to a bus in order to commute across town. If you're a CNM student, you know, there's not even a bus that runs around McMahon up from the transportation center at Cottonwood. And so my question would be, you're talking about focusing on Central, which already has a very effective red line that runs every 15 minutes. And yet, on the west side, we're completely underserved, and there's no feeder system. If you want people to use Central more, why not focus on building the feeder systems to run to Central and to run to the transportation center that's at Coors on the west side? That's my question, and my focus is let's look at the feeders. Systems.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for that question. Dana, we have Rapid Ride. It seems to work really well. I've heard a lot of people say this. So why focus on Central?
It is at, well, the Rapid Ride is at its capacity. The buses are overdue for replacement. This is an opportunity for us to upgrade the service. The buses are currently caught in the congestion that's out there, just like everybody else. And so their on-time performance is diminished, and so people can't count on it to be on time for work or health appointments. As a matter of fact, on the west side, we were walking, and there were half a dozen businesses over there that were, like, delighted that we were putting this system in so that it would ensure that their employees would be on time to work, because that's a real challenge for them. But to also comment on the desire for more service, boy, we'd love to have more service. We want to have more service. We, you know, it comes down to a matter of money. Unfortunately, the money that we're getting from the federal government is not something that we can use to expand service in that manner. This, it's infrastructure money for this type of program. I mean, we're applying all the time for other grants and stuff, trying to find money for operations, and you just really can't. It's 9 times out of 10, it's for capital improvement. So, but we continue to strive to provide better service. I know that route you're talking about, 94. We started with two, you said there's two morning and afternoon. We had two in the morning and two in the afternoon, but we didn't have the ridership on there. But it is a real balancing out. It's a tough struggle, and our operations guys really work hard at trying to provide the best possible service we can for what we have in terms of finances.
To that end, let me ask an email question from Ian. He wants to know if $100 million is a realistic budget. Will the project be subsidized like the Rail Runner? This does go to the larger question of transit, which most transit systems don't pay for themselves, neither do roads, frankly. but this is an issue. So what about the maintenance of this? What are we looking at down the road?
So, and we've seen in response to, that's a great question, and we got it at our forum too. Again, we've seen $19 million in changes and upgrades and design adjustments along this project, mm-hmm. maybe a little more, Dana, but in response to community input. And that was one of them that we heard about, which is how do we ensure that this new fancy, big old shiny thing doesn't become sort of diminished and degraded, and how do we increase security for that? There are line items in that are going to help us do that. And this is our obligation at the city council to be sure that if we decide at the council, and I think there's a real split on the council right now about this, but if we decide to do that, we have to be sure that we're going to invest the rest of that down the road, and that this is not a two-year project, Gene's point, and then abandon everybody along the route.
So final thoughts. We have about 30 seconds. There's going to be more public meetings, more chances for input. I have all your contact information on our website, so if folks want to follow up with any of you. Gene, do you have final thoughts?
Our group is extremely concerned about whether the project as designed will meet its stated goals of art. And art has lofty, good goals, all of the livability, the future, bringing the ability for people to get to their jobs along Central. We would love to sit down at the table. We believe we have knowledge and concerns that are valid, and we would like to work with the city and collaborate to make them happen.
Well, we couldn't get to all of your calls, but you can follow up with us KUNM.org. We have our guests' contact information. I have a lot of information posted there about this project and about transit. Thanks to everyone who joined our conversation today, especially Gene Bernstein, Flying Star Cafe's Dana Gardner with Albuquerque Rapid Transit, City Councilor Pat Davis. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. The show is engineered by Jefferson White. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls. I'm Megan Kamrick, your host today. And join us next week when public health reporter Marisa DeMarco will look at the state of behavioral health 3 years after accusations of fraud and an announcement by the Attorney General clearing 10 of those providers of wrongdoing. That will be the call-in show for next week. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your calls and emails. I'm Megan Kamrick.